Touching his hat politely, Richard Dalloway parted from Hugh at the street corner. Really, an hour in the man's company was all he could bear, and he was, after all, impatient to go straight to Clarissa. But he should arrive holding something. Flowers? Yes, since he had no skill at choosing presents. Yes, an armful of flowers, to tell her he loved her, for they never spoke of that feeling, and hadn't for years. The time comes when one is too shy to say it, he thought, setting off to Westminster, with his great bunch of red and white roses close to his chest. He would say it at once, holding out his flowers. I love you! Why not? When he thought of the war and the many thousands of poor men who had died, really, it was wonderful to be walking across London to tell Clarissa that he loved her. He had once been jealous of Peter, but she had often told him she had been right not to marry him, and he believed her. Happiness is this, he thought, approaching his door. Big Ben was beginning to strike, first the warning, musical, then the hour, final. The sound of the bells flooded Clarissa's drawing room, where she sat at her writing table, worried, annoyed. She had not invited Ellie Henderson to her party on purpose, but now Mrs. Marsham had sent a message saying, Ellie so much wanted to come. But why should she invite all the dull women in London to her parties? Why should Mrs. Marsham get involved? And all this time, Elizabeth was shut away with Miss Kilman, praying. With great dignity and directness, Big Ben struck three, and someone was at the door. Who could it be at this hour? Good heavens, 3 o'clock already, and what a surprise! In came Richard, holding out flowers, red and white roses. But he could not manage to say aloud those words. How lovely, she said, taking his flowers. She understood. His Clarissa understood, without him speaking. And was lunch amusing? She asked. How was Lady Bruton? Must she invite Ellie Henderson to their party? Mrs. Marsham had sent a message. That woman Kilman was upstairs. But let us sit down for 5 minutes, said Richard. Peter Walsh was back. He had visited, and she had been mending her dress. He was remembering Boughton, and I thought how I might have married him, she said, thinking of Peter playing with his knife. He's just as he always was, you know. They were talking about him at lunch, said Richard, but he could not tell her that he loved her. He held her hand. Happiness is this, he thought. Hugh was also at lunch, and they had been writing a letter to the Times for Lady Bruton. That was all Hugh was good for. She had seen him earlier too. And our dear Miss Kilman? He asked. She came just after lunch, and is shut away with Elizabeth, she said. I suppose they're praying. Good heavens, he didn't like it, but these things pass if you let them. She was in a raincoat and had an umbrella, said Clarissa. He had not said, I love you, but he held her hand. Happiness is this, he thought. And what about Ellie Henderson? Why should Mrs. Marsham tell Clarissa who to invite? Poor Ellie, said Richard. And if Clarissa worried about these parties, he would not let her give them. But he must go. He stood for a moment, as if he were about to say something, and she wondered what. There is a dignity in people, Clarissa thought, in their independence, that one must accept. It was something one should not take from one's husband, or part with oneself. Richard went out, and returned with a pillow and a blanket. "An hour's complete rest after lunch," he said, and left. How like him! He would go on saying, "an hour's complete rest after lunch," to the end of time, because a doctor had ordered it after her influenza. And since he had brought a pillow, she would lie down. But why did she suddenly feel so unhappy? She searched here and there. No, it was not about Elizabeth and Miss Kilman. It was something Peter had said, and Richard had added to it. Her parties! That was it! Both of them criticised her very unfairly for her parties. Peter thought she was a snob and liked having famous people around her. Richard just thought she was silly to make herself tired when it was bad for her heart. And they were both quite wrong. What she liked was simply life. "That's what I do it for," she said, speaking aloud to life. But suppose Peter said to her, "Yes, but what's the point of your parties?" All she could say was that they were an offering as important to her as love was to him. She wanted to bring people together, to combine, to create. It was her gift. She had nothing else of the slightest importance to give. It was enough that one day followed another, that one woke in the morning, saw the sky, walked in the park, met Hugh Whitbread. Then suddenly, there was Peter, and then Richard's roses. That was enough. After that, how unbelievable death was. And no one in the whole world would know how she had loved it all. How every moment... The door opened. Elizabeth came in very quietly, knowing that her mother was resting. She was dark-haired, with dark eyes in a pale, gentle face. As a child, she had laughed. But now at 17, she had become very serious, and Clarissa could not understand why. Elizabeth stood quite still and looked at her mother. And there was Miss Kilman outside the door, in her raincoat, listening to everything they said. Yes, Miss Kilman was in a raincoat, but she had her reasons. First, it was cheap. Second, she was over 40 and did not dress to please. If she had not been so poor, she would not be taking jobs from rich people like the Dalloways. To be fair, Mr. Dalloway had been kind, but Mrs. Dalloway had not. Miss Kilman believed she had a perfect right to anything that the Dalloways did for her. She had been robbed of happiness, for surely a girl has a right to some kind of happiness. And she had never been happy, being so awkward, so plain, and so poor. And then, just as she had a chance to do well as a teacher at Miss Dolby's school, the war came. She had never been able to tell lies. It was true that her family was originally German, and their name was once spelled Kielman. But her brother had been killed. Miss Dolby asked her to leave because Miss Kilman would not pretend that all Germans were evil. She had German friends. The only happy days of her life had been spent in Germany. She had had to take any small job she could. Then Mr. Dalloway had generously allowed her to teach his daughter history. She stood on the soft carpet outside the door. Instead of lying on a sofa, Mrs. Dalloway should have been in a factory or in a shop. But since God had come to Miss Kilman 2 years and 3 months ago, she pitied women like Clarissa Dalloway from the bottom of her heart. Bitter and burning, she had gone into a church 2 years and 3 months ago. She had listened to the word of God. She had heard the boys singing. Tears had run down her face. Now, when the hot and painful feelings boiled within her, this hatred of Mrs. Dalloway, this anger with the world, she thought of God and became calm. She looked coolly at Mrs. Dalloway, who came out with her daughter. Elizabeth said she had forgotten her gloves and ran upstairs to find them because Miss Kilman and her mother hated each other. She could not bear to see them together. But Miss Kilman did not hate Mrs. Dalloway. She felt pity. Fool, she thought. You have known neither sadness nor pleasure. You have wasted your life. A wish rose in Miss Kilman to bring her down to her knees, to ruin her. Clarissa was shocked. How could this woman, a woman who believed in God, have taken her daughter from her? How could this ugly woman, without any kindness, know the meaning of life? You are taking Elizabeth shopping? Mrs. Dalloway said. Miss Kilman said she was. They stood there. Miss Kilman was silent. She had always earned her living. Out of her small income, she gave money to the charities she supported. While this woman did nothing, believed nothing. But here was Elizabeth, a little out of breath, the beautiful girl. So, they were going shopping, Clarissa thought. It was odd how, second by second, the monster simply became Miss Kilman in a raincoat, whom heaven knows Clarissa would have liked to help. Saying goodbye, Clarissa laughed. They went downstairs together, Miss Kilman and Elizabeth. Then, suddenly, Clarissa cried out violently from the top of the stairs, for this woman was taking her daughter from her. Remember our party tonight? But Elizabeth had already opened the front door. There was a van passing, and she did not answer. Clarissa went back into the drawing room. Had she ever tried to change anyone? Didn't she simply wish everybody to be themselves? And out of the window, she watched the old lady opposite climbing upstairs, as she had seen her many times before. Let her climb upstairs if she wanted to. Let her stop, go into her bedroom, stand at the window, and disappear back into the room. There was a dignity about it, something private and solemn to be admired. An old woman looking out of the window, quite unaware that she was being watched. It was a sight that made Clarissa want to cry. The mystery of life was simply this, thought Clarissa. Here was one room, there was another. But the hateful Miss Kilman would destroy it, this freedom, this right to be oneself. Big Ben struck the half hour. How extraordinary it was to see the old lady, they had been neighbours for so many years, move away from the window, as if she were forced to move by that solemn sound. But where to? Then the bright little bells of the other clock sounded, the clock which always struck 2 minutes after Big Ben. And with them, the thought of all sorts of little things came flooding in. Mrs. Marsham, Ellie Henderson, glasses.